Okay, let's get ready. Well, let's see. What can we conclude? Well, let's see. Having y'all come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, and Wednesday night was just too much for them. And so we're down. That's one option. Two, y'all just love John so much. Maybe that was it. And John had a wonderful time here, and I just thank y'all so much for making him feel so welcome. And that was just a wonderful time. And did y'all enjoy his teaching? Yeah, he's good. He really is. And so it was just a real pleasure. Well, we'll have him back next year, about the same time. And works out for them, works out for us. Next year, Judy may be able to come with him because she'll be retired from school teaching, so she'll be free to be out and about. And so need to be in prayer for John and Judy this morning. They had a death in the church. He had to do a funeral yesterday. And plus, be prepared for two services today. And so please be in prayer for John. And let's be getting ready for our study together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this assembly, the privilege, the pleasure, the opportunity, the use of freedom to open the Scriptures, to study them, to sing, to pray, to give, to worship with others who are like-minded, fulfilling the purpose of the design of the local assembly. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, those of you that may not know, that's James Webb. James Webb and I met in the 70s, early 70s, mid-70s. And we met at a wonderful family's house. Now, I'm not sure why, well, I do know why I ended up marrying her daughter, but they invited us over to eat. And, of course, I was a seminary student, and any good homemade free meal was worth going to. And she was a great cook, and we just had a great time at the Flowers House. It was in Colleyville, wasn't it? Colleyville. Now, this was before the airport, and just as the airport started being built. And ride horses all through where the airport is now. I used to ride a horse, believe it or not, and often by myself. And that old horse and I just talked a lot and got along a lot. And first time, I don't mind sharing, first time I took it out alone, his name was Caesar, it was red. And so I got him in the corral area. I got him saddled. And then I got on him. And boy, he reared up like Silver in the Lone Ranger, and he was not going to go out. Well, I said, fine, you win. So in chapel, I sat next to a big, tall, lanky guy named Martin. His last name was Martin, and he was a cowboy. I mean, he grew up on a ranch, all this. And I told him the story. He started laughing. He said, here's what you do. Next time you take it out, he does not want to go alone. They do not want to be alone. So you reach over and you grab his ear, hold the horn, and grab his ear and twist it hard. You won't hurt him. Just twist it. Hurt him. Boom. And then he said, you might want to be ready because he might, when he comes down, on he might come around and try to bite you. So just be ready and twist him again. So I went, okay. So I went out there and saddled him up. And started getting him, got on him, and he reared up, and I reached over and grabbed. I mean, he wrote a book. He came down, he threw it around to bite me. I mean, I thought Martin had written a book on this stuff. And I twisted his ear again, and we just took off. And from that day on, we were friends. And but I met James there, and we just had a wonderful time eating at Mr. and Mrs. Flowers' house and watching TV, football games, and different things. It was really a good time. So we've known each other for a long, long time. So good having you here leading this morning. Yes, sir. Yes, those were all parents. I didn't know my mother knew about riding horses, but boy, she knew about twisting the ear. Very good. Okay. First of all, let's continue to be in prayer for Thomas. He continues to recover. John and I went over and spent a good 30 minutes, which was a long time, 30, 40 minutes, and just had a wonderful time. John had Thomas smiling and even laughing, and that was just so wonderful watching Thomas just smile and laugh, and John just had a good time with him. So let's continue to be in prayer. We have been in prayer for Ron, the vet in Tucson, where he went on to be with the Lord. Friday. So let's be in prayer for Ron's wife, Kathy, and for the family at this time. And we've been in prayer for a man in John's church, John Haig, and the cancer's come back again, and it's really rough on John Haig. So let's just please be in prayer for John Haig. And so be in prayer. I don't think anyone knows the woman that died in John's church. Her name is Betty. And every time I would teach, every year she'd come up, and she'd want to tell, and she wanted to tell me the same story over and over. And I just said, "Good, wow, you did that! I just heard it for 10 years in a row, but wow, that's really cool." And but she was a wonderful lady, and she went on to be with the Lord. So just be in prayer for Betty's family and for John and the church at this time. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes. Yes. Okay, good. That part's good. Wow. Wow. And they don't know where the blood clot is. Wow. Okay, we'll be in prayer. My goodness. Any other prayer requests? Oh, yes. You only allowed one. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Wow. She needs our prayer. People, it's rough being a teenager today. It's really tough. So we need to bear that in mind. And the Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Now, we saw this morning in the 1 Corinthians study, we saw how what pleases God. And the word means not just what's right, it's what pleases him. I don't know if you ever think about God just being pleased. And but it just the ideal in the 1 Corinthians passage is that he decided, here's man under total depravity, I'll have him be saved by faith alone in my Son. And it's almost like, wow, that's a great idea. I like that. And that's the pleasure that pleases God. So what pleases God? And then we looked at, in closing, things that please us. And one thing that pleases us, should please us, is giving. And people, if you're not pleased to give, and I can say it with Jim Passmore not being here, don't give. If it doesn't please you to give, because it isn't going to be done in the Spirit, and you should be pleased. One, that I have the relationship with Christ and the body of Christ in an assembly where I can give, that I have the ability to give, that and things that I give to, I believe in, give to the supporting of the God, teaching of the gospel, the spreading of the gospel, the youth program, missionaries, all these things. Man, this is good. I enjoy this. I enjoy being a part of this. I know at times if you hear things on TV and you just, you know, I really like that. And just to give you, I hate to bring politics into it, but I saw where Herman Cain won the Florida vote. And first time I heard him, I thought, you know, it's kind of worded badly, but if I supported political parties, I'd send him some money. I mean, I was just pleased with his insight of capitalism, of freedom, and the things that are involved in it. And so what I'm saying is that would have pleased me. And it please, when you give, you want to be pleased in it. This is what the word, the Greek word, means. I find pleasure in this, in giving. So this is the ideal of giving. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. We're so thankful, Father, your use of this assembly in so many different ways. And we pray now, Father, that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you'll continue to use them in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, spreading of the witness of Jesus Christ. Missionaries, young people, internet, tapes, and right here in this assembly, each other. So, Father, we pray that you'll receive these offerings. Continue to use them to the glory of your Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. forgot to remind you, next Sunday, October the 2nd, is Communion Sunday, and we'll have our communion time together, and then we will have our lunch time together. So please remember to bring its pot roast, stew, pot pie, chili, things like that. Whatever you have left over from Friday or Saturday, we'll eat. So just bring it so we can enjoy it. Okay, let's open the Bibles, if you will, to Romans 5. Romans 5. Now, we have spent some time on these few verses more than what might normally on a few verses like this, but to me, this is where we live. Jesus Christ said, you will have tribulation, and there's no way of escaping that. So, Romans 5, verse 3, and not only this, not only exalting in the hope of the glory of God, but we also exalt in tribulation. And we noted some things in regard to what exalting in tribulation means. But the whole key relies on the next word, knowing the tribulation. And there we saw scripturally, plus the Holy Spirit, plus pertinent knowledge of pertinent doctrine. Tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven faith. Now, character is not in the scriptures, and neither is the faith here. But we looked at some 12 passages. That's what God is looking for, especially in tribulation. Are you going to continue to trust Him? So it brings about proven faith. And proven faith, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And we've got two more lessons this Sunday and next Sunday. And then I want to spend a couple of Sundays with you on just getting familiar with this book. It has come to attention through different ways that most Americans do not know the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. They do not know the three parts of the Constitution. They do not know all or even any, say, three reasons for the forming of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Most people think it was, you know, taxation without representation. That's about the 17th cause for this whole movement. A few people know these things. But then it occurred to me, I wonder how many of you. I'm not even talking about the whole church. I'm not responsible for the whole church. I'm responsible for those in this assembly and those that are on the internet. How many of you know this book? How many of you understand the makeup of it? What's going on in this book? Now, after you teach for a long time, you forget to teach a lot of the basics. And you have new people come in. And you have people come in our situation on the internet who don't know a lot of these things. We just assume they do. It's been a long time since I've dealt with the essence of God and gone through them, made them part of your life. Now, as we study, I bring them up. We look at them, different things, but never. I mean, it's been a long time since we've just looked at the essence of God. So, but when we get through with next Sunday, I got one more lesson I want to do on the love of God poured into our hearts. And then I want to spend maybe one or two just familiarizing ourselves with this book, so that when you have it, you'll understand and know some things that you're dealing with when you read any part of it. I want you to feel familiar to and easy to open up Habakkuk, Amos, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and have an idea of what's going on in them, why they were written, where they fit into the history of Israel. So we'll do that after next Sunday, and we got this Sunday and next Sunday to deal with the Romans 5. So let's begin with a word of prayer, preparing ourselves for the study of Romans 5, verse 5. Father, we're learning about you in all of our studies. Wednesday night in the Gospel of John, in the Lord's Prayer, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Then on Sunday morning in 1 Corinthians, learning that we cannot know you by the wisdom of the world. You are known in your gospel. And now, Father, we learn something about you. You have poured your love into our hearts. Never are we to be separated, can we be separated from your love. So, Father, as we close out this very important section of Scripture, pray that your Spirit will lead us, put these things together where they have an impact on our life, especially when we hurt, especially in tribulation, suffering, adversity, disappointment, loneliness. These things can become a reality and a comfort, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Now, the love of God, because the love of God, now that's God's love for us, and we've well shown why it is not our love for Him in context, and we'll see more of that today. It's God's love for us has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And we have three different words for the giving of the Holy Spirit. One, the Holy Spirit is given to us, and that is the Greek word, the verb, didomi, Romans 5:5. And then we looked at the second one, God the Father supplies or provides the Holy Spirit, Galatians 3:5, Philippians 1:19. And then another interesting word used in Titus 3:6. So will you turn to Titus 3:6, dealing with how some of the ideas of us receiving the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:6. If you don't know where it is, that's what the table of content is for. And I'll give you a hint. It's in the New Testament. So, Titus 3:6. Titus 3:6. And this, you have to start with verse 5, because verse 6 is a continuation of the sentence out of verse 5. He, God, saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done. So we learn about God right there. God is the kind of God you don't work for. You don't do for. You simply trust Him. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, our righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now verse 6. Whom, Holy Spirit, whom He, God, poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So here we have our third word. He's given, He has supplied, and here He is poured out. He has poured out upon us. Now, so we have three different words. Given, that's the grace idea. You're given a gift. It's grace. Supplied, that's the idea of giving what is needed. In order to fulfill our purpose, we have been supplied with the Holy Spirit. Poured out is the idea without limit. There is no limit to the pouring out and to your being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, so one of the greatest impacts of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is that God's love for us is poured out into our hearts, and people, it can never be lost. We may or may not experience this love, especially in tribulation when we hurt. May not experience the impact of the love of God for you, but it's there. So, I hate to do this because we pretty much have examined the verse. Let's go to some points. One, why is love at the pivot of this scenario? Why is love at the pivot of it? We have tribulation, knowing that tribulation and we know this because of doctrine, brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven faith. Proven faith brings about hope, and hope, love. Why is love the final of this scenario? The want of love, people, is the want of life. The want to be loved is the want to live. Now we start out with tribulation in verse 3. And it's in the midst of tribulation. What happens often in tribulation? We may start doubting God's love for us. Does God really love me? I'm going through this cancer, this disease, divorce, death of a loved one, death of my children, my wife, my husband, all these kinds of things. So what may start to happen, does God love me? What did I do to make God so angry? What sin, what great sin have I committed that has caused these things to happen to me? What did I do to cause God to stop loving me? So it's in the tribulation that we're most prone to question, does God exist? Does God love me? Does God care? It's not getting better. It's getting worse. My financial condition's getting worse. My health is getting worse. This marriage is getting worse. Life's terrible. Does God even care? So it's here that we're going to doubt Him. It's in the tribulation that we realize our true weakness, our real weaknesses. We realize, you know, I'm not in control. I thought I was in control, but I'm not in control. And I realize that now. It's sometime in tribulation, you begin to feel true loneliness. You feel unloved. That's what tribulation does. God, the world, people, they just don't love me anymore. And then you might start adding, I'm not love worthy. Maybe I deserve all of these bad things happening. So these are the things that start happening when you have tribulation in the world. When you're going through tribulation, through suffering, it's lonely, it's frightful. And we wonder about love. Point two. So the point is, God has poured His love into our hearts. People, nothing can separate us from His love. This is what you have to believe, know and believe, especially in tribulation. And as part of point two, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read 35 through 39. And people, this is worth spending months on. Let's just read it, but pay attention to what you're reading. Don't just read it. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation. That's our word. It's the first thing that happens that we think, God doesn't love me anymore. Christ doesn't care anymore. I'm going through all this tribulation on earth. He just doesn't love. Or distress. Persecution. Famine. Nakedness means being deprived. Peril. Sore. Violence. Somebody breaks into your home and kills you. Beats you up. That separates you from the love of God. People, you wonder, what's going on? The sword. Not just war. It means violence in your own area of life. Judith's mother and father, in their 80s, came home one afternoon on December 28th. People were in the house, beat them up, and I mean beat them up miserably. Her father died shortly thereafter because of the beating, and her mother still isn't the same. Does God really love me? Why would God allow that to happen to an 80-year-old? Does God really love me? Does God really love my mom and dad? I've lost everything financially. Does God really love me? Is this the way God loves? If this is the way God's love, I'm not sure I want it. See how we're judging love? But His love is inside. And it can never be taken away from you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long for the sake of Christ. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. What's that taken off of? Jesus Christ. Verse 37. But in all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, depravity, nakedness, peril, sword, violence, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death is not the finality of anything for us, nor life, meaning anything that happens in life, nor angels, principalities, the powers of darkness, nor things present, nor things to come in my life, in my country, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This love, people, has been poured out into us. Point 3. And the reason that nothing can separate us from the love of God is because of the permanence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, people. Think about it. The reason that nothing can separate us from God's love for us is because of the permanent of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Spirit, not in time or eternity, not in adversity, tribulation, violence, depravity, whatever, war, sickness, illness, death. You're not going to lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? You're not going to lose God's love. Point 4. But the question arises, I'm not always aware of His love for me. I'm not always aware of it. I hate this word, but I don't feel it. I don't sense it. How can I be aware of His love for me? Okay, this is nice theology. His love has been poured out into my heart by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But how can I experience that in my life at times of tribulation? Point 5. With the giving of the Holy Spirit at the point of faith in Jesus Christ, the love of God for us has been poured out into our hearts. And since we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us forever, the love of God for us never leaves us. It's always there. and now 0.6, but experiential reality. Experiencing this love. Being aware of this love. The impact of this love inside us is totally dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a silly example. There's oil in the ground there, but until you pump it up, it does you no good. Boy, I'm a billionaire. I got enough oil to last America for 20 years, but nobody's allowed to dig it up. Doesn't do you any good. So to be, feel the impact, to sense the impact, to experience the impact of God's love for us, it must be filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, the great issue in your life, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And people, this is patterned after how we received the Holy Spirit. We received the Holy Spirit by what? By faith. How are you going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? By faith. This is how it's done. Paraphrasing Galatians chapter 3. Are you so non-thinking? Just paraphrasing it now. Are you so non-thinking? Having received the Holy Spirit by faith, having received the love of God by faith, are you now going to experience that love by works, by the flesh, by something you do? Are you so foolish, so non-thinking? If it's been received by faith, it's going to be experienced by faith. That's what he's saying. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God for us has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was graciously given to us. Let's now take a look at God's love for us. One, divine love is a force. It's a powerful force. Point two. The first thing about divine love is observance. Divine love, first of all, sees a need, then his love meets that need. People, where did we first learn this? Look at Romans 5:8. A few verses coming up in our study. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, God's love looked down and it saw a need. This creation cannot save itself. This creation cannot know me on its own. I will send my son. Out of my love for them, I'll send my son. That's when we first learned it. So the first thing about God's love, people, he knows your tribulation. He sees it. He sees when you're hurting in your soul. Even if others do not see it. Maybe nothing is going wrong in the external of your being, so no one else sees it. No one sees it. Now, if there are things going on externally, people see it. But God sees it. He sees the tribulation. He sees the hurt. He sees what's going on inside of you. He saw us in the need of his love at eternal life salvation. He met that love, that need, in the only way that he possibly could. Provide us with the grace means of salvation. Point three. Then God observed the believer going through tribulation, suffering on earth. Just by being on earth, Jesus Christ says in John 16:33, just by being on earth you have tribulation. The world hates you. Satan seeks to devour every believer who walks in the Spirit. So the love of God observed the misery of the believer on earth, the tribulation, the hurting. In his love, he did something about this need. He poured in his love into our hearts. Just let me build this whole case. He saw a need when we were unbelievers, and he sent his son. He saw a need as believers. The world hates us. We have tribulation, suffering, hurt, anguish, loneliness, sorrow. All these things happen for various reasons at various times in our lives. He saw it. And the first thing he did, he indwelled us with the Holy Spirit, pouring his love inside. Four. God's love poured into our hearts means that God is observant and sensitive to our needs. Now, if you're taking notes, put real needs. Put a dash, real needs. Because to us, what I need is for this to be over. What I need is for God to remove the tribulation. What I need is for God to solve this problem right now. No, it's not what you need. It's not what you need. You've got to stay with His plan. He sees what you need, the real need, and He supplies for it. He does not remove the tribulation, not always, sometimes He does, but in principle. He does not remove the tribulation, the suffering. But people, He will equip you from within with the courage and strength to endure the tribulation. Let me ask you something. In time of suffering, tribulation, testing, you're alone. Think of how you feel when someone that you love comes to you and just says, "I love you." What does that do? Does it remove the problem? No. I think a parent could understand the point I'm making here. You're really hurting. Things aren't going right. And this little child who can do nothing, can't give you a dime because you gave her that dime or him that dime, just comes up, sits in your lap, and says, "I love you." What does that do? Does it remove the tribulation? It doesn't remove the suffering. It doesn't remove the circumstances. But what happens inside your soul? What happens? You have a new courage. You have a peace. Maybe even a smile comes on your face. This is what the love of God inside of us does. It might even be a stranger who says that, by the way. It may be someone you don't know that well. I like the definition of a true friend. A true friend is when everyone else is walking out the front door. A true friend is walking in the back door. And he says these things to you. What happens? They haven't removed the problem. They haven't changed your circumstances. But something's happened inside of you. And that's what this love of God does. It gives you this peace. So, how much more are we aware of God's love for us? The power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the divine nine, and we should. Talk about other things the Holy Spirit does. He teaches. He guides. He causes us to remember. But people, here's one of the greatest impacts of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It causes us to be sensitive and aware of God's love. Point five. But. There's that word but. So you know this isn't going to be a good point. When you refuse to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, especially in tribulation, you cheat yourself. You cheat yourself. I don't want to have faith in the Holy Spirit. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to have anything to do with God. I'm mad at God. Look what God has done to me. Look what God is doing to me. I don't want God. I don't want any of that going on inside of me. You cheat yourself out of the love of God. You cheat yourself out of the impact of God's love. He still loves you. The love is still there. He still cares about you. But you have withdrawn from Him. This is what people do in life. They withdraw from people. Shut themselves up, become the hermit idea. I don't want to be around the family. I don't want to be around people. You cheat yourself. You cheat yourself. As a force, the love of God has three significant qualities: direction, magnitude, and impact. The direction of God's love is toward us. Every believer in Jesus Christ is the direction of God's love. You have God's love poured out in your heart. The magnitude of God's love is always the same. It's always the same. He gives the very best. But what I want to concentrate on for a moment is the impact or the effect of this love. The impact or the effect of this love varies with each believer. It depends on spiritual maturity of that believer, on your knowing God, your knowing Jesus Christ, your knowing the Word of God, and how much time you log walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. The impact of the love of God poured out into our hearts. Let's just know three. One, the love of God poured out into our hearts motivates to continue to walk by faith in the midst of tribulation. See, you cheat yourself if you withdraw, but if you walk in the Spirit and you're aware of this love, it motivates to continue to walk by faith in Him in the midst of the tribulation, even as the tribulation gets worse. Secondly, the impact of the love of God for us, especially in tribulation, is that that love has its effect inside of us. Gives comfort, peace, encouragement, and hope. His love inside of us, I'll support this with passages. This love inside of us gives comfort, peace, encouragement, and hope. Using the human example, the known to go to the unknown. And when I say the known to the unknown, I hope that you have known this. I hope you do know this. If you don't, I'm sorry. But to have someone come when you're in the midst of the tribulation, you know how it feels. Someone that you love comes, sits down beside you. I love you. I care. Maybe takes your hand. Maybe gives you a hug. Or is in the communion service, pulls out, what, that loaf of bread. Doesn't even have to say anything. Remember the circumstances of where the breaking of the bread comes from in Jeremiah? You go to someone's house, someone they love has just died. You go you go over to their house, you care about them. They haven't eaten. They've just buried the person they love. You walk in, you have your bag, you take out of your bag that loaf of bread. Not one for them and one for you, but one loaf, and you break it. They knew what you were doing. And that meant something. And then you took out that jug of wine, poured them some, and you some. You're sharing the impact of that. Now, I don't want to overplay it, overwork the emotions, but I can only imagine a parent when a little child comes up and says, I love you. What that would do in the midst of the tribulation. In the midst of the hurt. Well, people, this is the impact of His love in us and for us. So the impact of His love brings comfort, peace, encouragement, and hope. And then the third impact or the effect of this love is seen in 2 Corinthians 5. So if you will open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us. That's His love for us. It now controls us in the midst of anything going on in life. Having concluded this, so I want you to see how it's made up without going into the Greek verbs here. Having concluded this takes place before what follows. So he looked at the love of God and he came to a conclusion about the love of God. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves. I'm so controlled by this love. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. No longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. So the impact of this love, people, when you grasp this love, that He sent His Son to die, that He sent His Spirit, He pours in this love. I'm compelled by that. I'm going to make it through this tribulation. I'm going to make it through this suffering by God, by His love. That's how I'm going to make it. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Summary 3.1. Before the Holy Spirit was given to us, we knew the love of God from without. Outside, we knew the story. But now that we have believed in Jesus Christ, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the knowing of this love is within us, not without. He doesn't have to remove the tribulation. He doesn't have to remove the suffering. He doesn't have to remove the loneliness. He doesn't have to remove these things. His love comforts, encourages. Two, the fulfillment of our hope cannot be accomplished by our love for Him. The fulfillment of our hope, Romans chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, cannot be accomplished by our love for Him, but by His love for us. Remember, the context is tribulation. It is in tribulation that many Christians doubt the love of God. It is in this time that the love of God has its effect of being poured into our hearts. Point three, His love for us is poured out within our hearts from within through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. For the fruit of the Holy Spirit, for teaching of the Holy Spirit, for the love of God in us, all these things, we're dependent on the Holy Spirit, people. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. For to us believers, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, and people, that includes His love for us. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. We've received it. There's going to be our fourth word. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We've received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. And people, that includes His love. You're going to know His love by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. That's why you've got to be in the Holy Spirit. You want to have the impact of that love? People, you've got to be in the Holy Spirit. The natural man is not going to be affected in that way by it. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And people, from Isaiah 40, this is the Holy Spirit. Point four. The love of God for us, subjective genitive, has been poured out within our hearts. Perfect tense, has been poured. This is a reference to the point of salvation. If we note the progression of our passage, the aorist participle of verse 1, having been justified, precedes the action of peace with God. So, we've been justified. After we're justified, we receive peace with God, and we receive the love of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. 5. The heart, cardia, is the center of our being. This is your soul. It is the heart where we know we are loved or not loved. And if not loved, the heart hurts. It is the heart that hurts. It's amazing how much tribulation we can go through as long as we know we're loved. It's amazing how much you can go through. By others, loved by others, especially by God. Especially God's love for us. Go something like this. As long as I know you love me, I can endure all things. My faith will endure. But people, what hopelessness if we thought for one moment He stopped loving us. Think about that. Or sometimes we tend to think that in tribulation. But think about it. What if He really did stop loving us? Think of the condition we would be in life. So what a joy, what a comfort, what thing we should give thanks for is that neither tribulation nor sin can separate us from the love of God. And 6. Please remember as we close out this section of our study in Romans 5, what is our hope and when is our hope? In context, our hope is in time of tribulation. What is our hope? Our hope is in the love of God. We spent a lot of time on this. And I pray that you will write down somewhere in the back of your Bible the Psalm 147, the Lord delights in those who fear Him, and who put their hope in His unfailing love. Also, Psalm 33:18-22. Psalm 33:18-22. We studied these passages. They're the object of our hope. They're the object of our faith. Finally, 7. His love has been poured out within our hope and in our hearts. The picture conveyed here in the Greek is like the pouring out of water. In fact, Jesus Christ refers to the Holy Spirit as the rivers of living water. When water is poured out, people, you know, it goes everywhere. You spill water, you spill Coke or something, it goes everywhere. How did it get over there? How did it get over there? I spilled it over here. I don't understand that. How did it get there on my pants? How did it get underneath that rug? Answer me that. I spilled it over there, it's underneath the rug over here. Answer me. It's poured out. It's the love of God poured out into every part of our being. I want to close this morning with no more points. I could stand here and try to take what I'm getting ready to do and give you points. If you're a note taker, you take them, close your notebook, probably never see it again. What I want to do in closing is I want to go through some passages on the effect, the impact of God's love for you in the Bible. And I hope you like me. I have it now. I put these the back of my Bible. Now, you can do it one of two ways. You can write down every scripture on the back of your Bible, maybe underlines one you really like. Or, and I do this also, you can go to the first one and then put the second reference. And then when you go to that, have the third reference and the fourth reference. And that way you only have to write down one on the back of your Bible. Any way you want to do it. But I'm doing this for you because I did it for me. This is the impact of His love. And all I did was pick one book, the book of Psalms, to do this. So let's close this morning by looking. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 5. And every one of these, see, people, how many times have we studied, we got to love one another, love the Lord, the new commandment. People, that's important. But this is not about your love for anybody. It's not even about your love for God. This is about God's love for you. That's what we're looking at. The love of God for you. All right, Psalm chapter 5, and let's look at verse 7. Now, you're going to have to hang with me this morning because we're going to go through a lot of these passages. Psalm 5, verse 7. But as for me, by thine abundant love, I will enter thy house. In other words, that is entering the Word. At thy holy temple, I will bow in reverence before thee. People, just about the love of God when we open this book. Let's look at chapter 6. Psalm chapter 6, verse 4. Return, O Lord, rescue my soul from the tribulation, the suffering. Deliver me because of your love. Not because I deserve it. Not because I earn it. But because of your love. That's already poured out within me. Look at chapter 13. Psalm 13, we're going to look at verse 5. But I have trusted in thy love. My heart shall rejoice in thy deliverance. Where's his love? It's in the heart. Where do you rejoice? In your heart. It's the impact of the love of God inside of us. Let's look at Psalm 21. Psalm 21, verse 7. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. People, that's us. You'll not be shaken if you're occupied and have the Holy Spirit pour that love inside. Now, the famous, the 23rd Psalm. Let's look at Psalm 23. Remember this, verse 6? Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and love will all the days of my life. People, can't do otherwise. It's inside of you. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Remember, O Lord, thy compassion and thy love, for they have been from of old, from the time I accepted Christ as Savior. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your love, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. People, here's a great basis of prayer. Your love's inside of me. You love me. On the basis of that love, deal with me in this tribulation, in my sins, whatever it may be. Look at chapter 26, verse 3. For your love is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth, in the word, in the spirit. But his love is right there, guiding. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, love shall surround him. This word is surround him. Our word is inside you, poured inside you. People, that's what you and I have, regardless of what's going on in life. Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who have fear and respect of him, on those who hope for his love. What's our passage in Romans 5? Tribulation, hope in his love. His love is there. Psalm 36. Psalm 36, verse 7. How precious is your love, O God. You ever thank God for that? I hope you get to. I hope you, now that you've studied these things, you're going to be motivated to do it. How precious is your love for me, poured into me, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of thy wings. Chapter 40. I'm going to read 11 through 13. Chapter 40. Thou, O Lord, will not withhold thy compassion from me. Thy love and thy truth will continually preserve me. People were preserved by his love. It may be rough. The tribulation may be tough. But you're preserved by his love. Verse 12. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. Let's think of the evils as tribulation, suffering, adversity. My iniquities. Uh-oh! Does he still love me when I sin? You bet. He doesn't withdraw that love. My iniquities have overtaken me. My failures, my faults, my sins, my weaknesses. They've overtaken me. So that I am not able to see clearly. They were more numerous than the hairs of my head. This guy's a sinner. I mean, he has done some bad things. And my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. And why will God do this? Because his love is inside of you. Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verse 26. Rise up, be our help, and redeem us from tribulation, from our sins, from our failures, for the sake of thy love. People, you don't ever want to go to God because I deserve it, especially if you're in sin. But even in tribulation, be because I deserve it, because I earn it, because I'm so wonderful. No, because of your love, which you've poured out in me, that basis, I ask you. Psalm 51, very important psalm to David. Psalm 51:1, look what he appeals to. A psalm of David, this is part of scripture, for the choir director, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he, David, had gone into Bathsheba, sexual intercourse with this woman who's married to another person. This is pretty heavy stuff. Be gracious to me, O God. Oh, you can't pray to God. You just committed a horrible sin. Look what he says. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy love, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. People, this love that's inside of you is the basis of strength, encouragement, and prayer. Psalm 52, verse 8. Psalm 52, verse 8. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the love of God forever and ever. Now, what does forever and ever mean? Does that mean in eternity? Yes, it does. But you know what it means? It means right now, regardless of circumstances, it doesn't stop. Forever means tomorrow when tribulation hits you. It means tomorrow when you sin in a horrible way. Anyway, His love will never forsake you. Psalm 59. Psalm 59, 16 and 17. But as for me, I shall sing of thy strength. Think about this in tribulation and suffering, adversity, hurt. I'll sing of thy strength, not mine, of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of thy love in the morning, for thou hast been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress, in the day of my adversity. O my strength, I will sing praise to thee, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me love. People, this is what He does. It doesn't matter. It's about Him. It's about the love that's already poured out inside of us. Look at Psalm 63. Verse 3. Because thy love is better than life. People, this is the one you put on your refrigerator, if you mean it. Your love poured out in me is better than life. My lips will praise you, but the first part is what I want you to see. Is better than life. Having His love inside of us is better than anything. Better than removing the tribulation. Better than removing the sorrow. Better than removing the adversity, the love, whatever it is. The loneliness, whatever. Your love poured out of me is better than life. But you got to mean it before you put it on your refrigerator. Psalm 86. People, let me just make that an application thing. How many married people who get things from their husband or their wife, but not their love? That hurts. That hurts. You get all kinds of things. Nice home, cars, all this stuff, but not their love. And how wonderful it is when you got that love and they can't afford to give you any of those things. We can experience some of these things in the reality of them in our own lives to see how it would work in the spiritual realm in our relationship with God. Okay, the Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in love and truth. People, when you're going through adversity I'm giving you these verses, these things you can meditate on, pray about, go over them. That's why I'm taking the time so you can write them down, and I want you to actually see them in the text. Some of these will be more meaningful to you at different times. Psalm 94. Psalm 94, 18. Actually, 18 and 19. Psalm 94, 18 and 19. If I should say, my foot has slipped, you know what that means? That means sin. That doesn't mean he's out on a rainy day. That means he goofed. My foot has slipped. Your love, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me. What is anxious thoughts? No peace. No calmness. You're anxious, worried, fear. Thy consolations delight my soul. That's where his love is. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we're going to look at verses 4, 8, and 11. I've given it like that so those of you that are writing down can write it down. All right, let's look at Psalm 103, and let's look at verse 4 of Psalm 103. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion. People, we've been crowned with the Holy Spirit, and by that the pouring in of His love. Look at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. His love is in you. He has not removed it. Verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love toward those who fear Him. You know what fear Him means? It means you're walking by faith. You have that respect, that awe. And when you're walking by faith, He pours in that love, and you have the effect of His love. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I know we've gone over a little time, but when you hurt, you may be appreciative of this time, if you write these down. Okay, Psalm 107, let's look at verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and for His wonders to the sons of men. People, it's just, you have nothing else to thank God for? Thank you, Father, for pouring in your love through your Spirit in me. If you just are down to the nitty gritty, you have nothing else to thank God for. Here's, you got something to thank Him for His love. And all these effects, benefits of His love inside of you. Psalm 107, verse 8, and verse 15, verse 15. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and for His wonders to the sons of men. Verse 21. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and for His wonders to the Son of Man. Verse 31. Guess what it says? Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and for the wonders to His sons of men. Verse 43. Who is the wise? Let him give to these things and consider the love of God. You want to be wise? Don't be wise in the world. Be wise in considering God's love poured out into us. Psalm 109, verse 21 and 26. Psalm 109, verse 21. But Thou, O God, the Lord, deal kindly with me. I've sinned, I fail, I hurt, I'm in tribulation. Be kind to me for Thy name's sake, because Your love is good. Deliver me. On the basis of what? That He loves it. And when it says deliver me, don't look for that meaning take away the tribulation. Deliver me through it. Don't remove the storm. Deliver me through the storm. That's what's going on. Psalm 117. let's just read this whole psalm. Let's read the whole psalm of 117. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all peoples. For his love is great toward us. It's great toward us. He's poured it into us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118, for the sake of time, I'm in no hurry. Let's read 1 through 9. I started to let you read it, but let's just read it together. Psalm 118, verses 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love is everlasting. What does that mean? Your sins, your failures, adversities, tribulations do not stop it. It's everlasting. It lasts right through all of those. Oh, let Israel say His love is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say His love is everlasting. Let those who fear, that means to walk by faith, the Lord say His love is everlasting. From my distress, tribulation, I call upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. That means set me free of the torment of that place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Think about that. His love is inside of you. What can men do? They can't take that away. A person can take their love away from you. A parent can take their love away from a child, a husband from a wife from a husband, a friend from a friend, but not God. He can't do it. His love is inside of you by the Holy Spirit, who has already told us will be there forever and ever. Verse 7, the Lord is for me among those who help me, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I shall look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Understand what this is saying? You trust in the one who loves you and always will love you. Psalm 119. Verse 76, Psalm 119:76. Oh, may thy love comfort me. That's what his love will do inside of you. When you're in the Spirit, it comforts you. According to thy word, to thy servant. Psalm 119, verse 124. Verse 124. Deal with thy servant according to thy love. And teach me thy statutes in the midst of the tribulations and the sufferings. Verse 149. Hear my voice according to your love. Revive me, O Lord, according to thine ordinances. Psalm 136. Now, we're not going to read Psalm 136, but just when you want to sit and just have total occupation, concentration with His love, look all the way through this, what's going on. Verse 2, give thanks to the God of gods, for His love is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His love is everlasting. Give thanks who alone does great wonders, for His love is everlasting. And you just go on and on and on, and you can put in, give thanks to the Lord, for He has saved me. His love is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord, for He has poured His love within my heart. Give thanks, for His love is everlasting. You can put in your own. He's got so many, I don't think a few of your own would be that much out of place. 138. We're almost through. Of course, we're almost through with the book of Psalms. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Oh, what peace there is. He'll accomplish what He has planned for me. Thy love, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of thy hands, my salvation. Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me hear thy love in the morning, for I trust in thee. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to thee I lift up my soul. There's our motto for every day in the morning. And finally, Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in love. Well, one more lesson on this. Next week, a special, because it's Communion Sunday. But I hope that you've seen why we spent so much time on Romans 5, verses 3, 4, and 5. This is where we live. And I hope when you go through any adversity, suffering, challenge, loneliness, harm, whatever it may be, that you can just read through these verses, especially the Psalms that we've done, and let the Holy Spirit give you that peace, that comfort, that encouragement to your soul. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our response to these verses in Psalms is amen. So be it. We thank you, Father, for your love. For from your love we learn about love. We learn how our love should affect others in life, how your love affects us. And Father, we just thank you that you never take it away. We can never be separated from your love, no matter what happens. Our fall, tribulation from the world, we cannot be separated from your love. And that love means peace, encouragement, comfort, even joy. Father, we pray that these things will settle in our souls and come up every time we suffer and are suffering in tribulation. And wondering what the world's going on in my life. What are you doing? We'll find peace knowing that you love us. Father, we pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.